You know when Pastor Ken says that I didn't want to, but I did, and I didn't feel like it. Well, he's talking about the gifts. He's talking about the gifts. You know, when the gifts are in manifestation. I've seen people. Let's put it this way. I've seen people who come to a service, like a real service, where they're having a healing meeting, say like a crusade, where they call them crusades back in those days. They call them healing rallies today, just to make it softer, because people hate that word in some way, because they think crusades, you know, means like they're taking over and killing people. And so back in those days, they used to go out and do different things. But when somebody is in a church, an auditorium, and they're doing a mass healing crusade, a healing meeting, and comes in there, he doesn't know about healing. He's not aware he actually can have it. And he walks into a meeting like that, and he comes in that meeting, and he gets healed. He didn't, he's not believing for healing, but he gets healed. You know, and it's kind of confusing for people, because there might be somebody there that's been in a church service for many years, in a church, maybe a denominational church, and they're not healed. Like, why did this guy, he's not even woman or whatever, he's not healed? And because there's something called the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. When that gift of the Spirit is manifestation, you know, you can receive or you can minister a healing, or like a miracle of healing, because suddenly you weren't aware, suddenly you're aware that God healed you in your body. And you weren't actually believing for it, but God did it. It's called a gift of healing, and some of them fall in line of a miracle of healing, because it's all of a sudden, you know, you received it while not really asking for it. It's like this. When I was in 1980, I was in my room. I moved to a different city here, and I was in a basement. And I was seeking God. I was a young man, much like these guys, at this my early 20s. Just graduated from college, and I moved away. I'm in my early 20s, and I'm studying the Bible. I'm all alone most of the time, every day. I'm reading the Bible every day, just studying the Bible, listening to different materials that I found when I went to different churches. So I'm there in my room, and suddenly the Holy Spirit manifests himself in my room. Now, I wasn't aware. I wasn't really seeking something, but, you know, God knows everything. He knows, you know, what your head doesn't know. Like, you know, we're educated by our five senses. But God can bypass your head and go directly to your heart, because your heart knows God more than your head does. But a lot of times your head is kept shut up because you're walking by most of the time, or your heart's kept shut up. It's imprisoned because your head, you're falling by your head. So I'm there in the basement of this apartment house that I was in, and suddenly there was a manifestation of the Spirit. If you say, what do you mean the manifestation? Well, God began to show up in a spectacular way. I'm all alone. There's no service. Nobody's singing hallelujah. There's no 1,000-member Benny Hinn choir behind singing hallelujah. I was not in the Kenneth Copeland convention. I'm not in a healing rally of anything. I'm alone. I'm there. But I'm seeking God every day, praying by myself. And I'm there. Suddenly the anointing comes in. And it comes on my head, comes over my head. You know what the Bible says? Psalm 103 says that anointing oil comes over your head, comes all over you until you're enveloped in it. So I'm in my room by myself. Then the Spirit came on me in that way. And see, I wasn't searching to go in the ministry. I'm not searching to become a minister. I'm a young man, just graduated from college, got a job working in another city. But I'm seeking Him. I'm seeking the Lord. I want to know Him. Because all my life I was depressed. brought up on the reserve. We had no running water. We had no food most of the time. I was in and out of care. And suddenly, at a certain time, I got hungry for God. And there's so many things running through my mind that I want to say to you. But anyway, I'm searching for God. And suddenly, this anointing came. It came all over me. And while I'm in the presence of God, he enveloped me. I'm telling you, he came all over me. And suddenly, I'm in this presence. And right in that presence, while I'm there, I suddenly realized I could do anything that God tells me to do. It was just—it was amazing that I'm in that presence. And I'm saying, I can just do anything. And now today, I remember scripture that says that I think it's David that wrote, "I can jump a wall." Well, he must have been a hurdler. I mean, he'd be a good hurdler. He said, "I can jump through a wall. I can. What he said, run through a troop. That's dangerous. But he can do it. He said he can just do anything." So I'm in that presence of the Spirit of God. I'm in this. And I just feel like I can do anything. I can just do anything. But then I'm in this, and I didn't know what it was. So then that anointing lifted off from me. Then I'm back into my natural state. And then I didn't have that anymore. It didn't seem like, I come back to myself. What happened during that time? What I understand today is that God made me aware, recognized me, transferred an anointing on my life to become a minister. I didn't realize that God began to show me that till later on. I'm reading after Wigglesworth, who was a man of faith. I didn't know who he was, but I started studying him. Somebody gave me a bunch of books. Wigglesworth, he was a man of faith. And I remember reading that in the nighttime and thinking, wow, this is amazing. This guy raised, people from the dead, and he's healed a lot of people who were invalids and sick and just a death door, and some even raised to life. I think 9 people in his ministry. This is a plumber. Couldn't hardly speak English. And he was rough. How many people know that God will call rough people? You're not all refined like Joel Osteen. Right? I mean, I love Joel. I listened to Joel this morning. I said, man, this guy is gifted. God's given him a huge anointing. I would like my dad to pass on me 8,000, 10,000 church too. I'd be happy. But there's a long history behind there. My dad didn't give me any kind of anointing or pass on to me, but he helped me out in some ways. Sometimes you have to do some things on your own. Step out in faith. If I would have listened to people, religious people, that told me not to go in ministry, I would have never been there. And if I would have believed everybody what they said, I would have never learned the things I did. But thank God, there's some things you have to stand on your own. I said, there's some things you have to stand on your own and obey God and follow him. So that anointing came on me, and I didn't realize that God had transferred something. And I read over there in 2 Kings 13, I believe it's, 2 Kings 13. There was a situation there where there was the people invading the land of Israel, and the Israelites began to saw these people. They were carrying a dead man. They placed that dead man in the tomb of the prophet Elisha. Elisha had the double portion of anointing that his predecessor had, Elijah. And I think it's 2 Kings 2:19 says he had a double portion. He had a stronger anointing. I think every generation ought to get stronger. Amen? And have more, because it keeps piling up. You know, sometimes bill piles up too, right? But I like when the anointing piles up. But here it is. See, this dead prophet, I mean, he's there, his tomb, his bones are there, and they dropped that man down. As soon as he touched that man, bang, he revived. What happened to me, when I was in that room, I'm reading Wigglesworth's book. This man of God is dead. But the anointing on the ministry never dies. I said, the anointing on a ministry never dies, especially if God's called them. If God truly calls somebody, the anointing is there. And it touched me. It revived me. And no one was there to teach me. I just learned this just by following. You know, Brother Hagin said, if you stay a Christian long enough, you follow God, you just stumble up on some things. And you learn things. Right? If you learn long enough, you stick around, you're going to learn something. Say, I'm sticking around. Say, you know, you stick around in ministry, stick around, and you'll get to learn. You learn some things as you go along. And so I found out that if I, you know, I remember getting these set of tapes called The Anointing by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. I wasn't really aware of him, who he was too much, but I began to listen to these series. My church gave me a bunch of a catalog of a library collection of his ministry tapes. I think you could buy them at that time for $1,300, $1,400. All his library they gave to me, and I began to put myself to school. I went to Bible school on my own, and I began to listen to all those tapes on the wall. Again, took notes and listened to them, and I finished up and listened. So I listened to a series called The Anointing, and in the third series of the tape, he says, I want to teach you how to receive any kind of anointing, provided, a lot of people don't listen to this part, provided that you're called to that same area as that person. Like, if you're not called to be a pastor, no sense in you seeking to be a pastor because you're not called there. Now, you could try and pastor for a while, and it might work good. You'll get blessed, and people will be blessed because God's word will bless anybody. And then you can get hurt too, you know. And so he said, I'm going to show you how to receive any kind of anointing that somebody has, and you can get that transferred to you. I'm listening this weekend. I was listening, and I've seen different ones from this city, from a church. They'll go to Toronto, go to like a fire conference, or they go to, there's one weekend, there's a conference going on called CRY. Over in Ottawa. Well, people going there, they're seeking something. They want to get something. They want to bring that back. The Lord told me that, it's no use, for some people to try to, in a congregation, to go somewhere and try to bring it back because they have no outlet to do that in a church. Because you have to change the board. You got to change the leadership in there. You got to change the pastor. Because God's not going to use someone to just come in here and change things. God's not going to let anybody in here change things, change me, or change the leadership in this church. So if you're going to another church, that's not going to work that way. God always worked decently in an order. Right? And you see that? And so why am I saying that? Because people go to different places to get something to bring it back. And that's good in itself, but there's a limit to it. Now, you might be blessed yourself, but you try to spread that to everybody else, it's not going to work as well. See, I'm trying to get to a place in this church where we can all have faith and unity and believe God from the scriptures, that it's scriptural, so that we can trust God, believe God together. So that everybody can get blessed and everybody can get the anointing or to get whatever it is we need. Hallelujah. Is this good or is it wasting my time? But I believe it's going to be good. You know, so you see, he said, I'm going to show you how to get any kind of anointing that you want, provided that you have the same calling as that person that you're trying to follow. So let me just show you this. Now, don't put your books away. And I want you to listen. Because this is going to help you. This one thing might help you, and it'll help you. Because, you know, you see people, I see kids in hockey. Where's some of our coaches? They're gone. Some people in hockey, they'll find a hockey player they didn't want to be like. They'll buy his jersey. They'll watch this, watch the highlights, and they'll become a team. They'll like that team, and they follow how he shoots the puck and how, all his knowledge, whatever. They want to be like that guy, that hockey player. Well, there's pastors that want to be like other pastors. That follows in every area. Whether you're in ministry, whether you're business, whether you're professional, you want to be like that professional, he's good. You want to know what he knows, and you can get. The Lord said to me, I can show you, you can get any kind of anointing, provided you're in the same calling. So there's a man called Elijah. God called him to be a prophet. In 1 Kings 19, I mean, Elijah was having some problems. He had some emotional problems and some mental health issues because he got scared and different things happened in his ministry. And he got kind of like, you know, the victim mentality, said, everybody's after me and so on. You know, we get this way, right? Especially if you're alone. That's why you shouldn't be alone. You need other people to show you you're not the only one suffering a certain way. Because you might think so. So here's Elijah. God called him. The Bible says that God spoke to him. And Acts 19, well, you see over 17, 18, 19, and over 19, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19, God told Elijah, he said, I'm going to call somebody. I want you to go anoint these three people. Go anoint them. You know, the anointing, they would pour oil on someone, signifying that's the day the calling of God is on you. That anointing oil on that person signifies that's the day that you're called publicly and that everybody should know that the anointing is on you. When the anointing's on you, people are going to know it. There's no guessing. And you'll know it. You'll definitely know it when the anointing's on you. You will know it. There's nothing like, I wonder if I'm anointed. No, you'll know it. But you'll have to learn how to operate in that. It takes time to learn to operate in an anointing in the gifting area. So God tells this man, 2 Kings or 1 Kings 19, go and anoint these three men. He mentioned a couple of kings there. Then he goes to this other guy, this other man. Call Elisha, anoint him. He's going to take your place. He's going to take your place in the ministry. And he walks by, he comes upon him, and he took his cloak. In those days that the prophet had a hairy coat. They take his coat and they throw it on the man, and that anointing came on him. That cloak or mantle symbolized that anointing coming upon him that day. So from then on, now watch this. I'm going to show you how to get any kind of anointing that somebody else has, provided you're called to the same office or same area. And so that prophet, from that day, Elisha, from the day that Elijah threw his coat on him, his mantle, that anointing came upon him. And he said, let me go first, do some business over here and say goodbye to my parents, my mother and father. And Elisha said, what have I to do with you? And he was kind of rough on him, it seemed, that, you know. Because he had to tell him that this is very important, that what you're called to do is very important, more important than anything else in your life right now. He had to know. You know, when I was called as a young man, I knew everything was more. I knew that the call of God was more important than anything else. I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I wanted one. I wanted lots of girlfriends. I was. You know, I'm just like any young-blooded man, like a hot-blooded man. And, you know, if you're a man, there's five girls to one man. In the ministry, some people say, you can't find a husband. My wife had to find me in university. Go to university. You want one? Go to university. Yeah, over here. Go to university. You want to find a good man? Find a good man. No, so anyway, from that day forward, that Elisha followed Elijah wherever he went. Yeah. And Elijah always discouraged him. No, don't come here. I'm going over here. Don't come here. I'm going here. No, he said, no, wherever you go, I'm going there. Yeah. If you say you're called somewhere, and if you want to follow somebody, if you're not reading their books, going to their seminars, going and traveling somewhere, trying to find out where they're teaching, and go there, you are not really, you don't know that you're actually, you know, you don't know yourself enough, or you should actually have an idea that you need to be where that person is. Find their books, read their things, you know, and get close to that kind of anointing. Because you can't always be with somebody physically, but you can read their books, visit, you know, go on YouTube, listen to their videos, get that inside of you. And also be teachable, be have somebody teach you so that you don't go crazy. You need somebody to mentor you, right? Go to a pastor, go to somebody, and let them challenge you. Don't be like stiff-headed and try to do what you want to do. And so he followed them to these certain places. Now, Elijah followed Elisha to different places. I think he went to, can you remember what they were? Bethel, first Bethel, it's symbolic of, you know, different things. Bethel, Jericho, Gilgal. Gilgal is symbolic of faith. You know, I'm going to do this by faith. That's where Gilgal is, a place where the Israelites had no more manna. They don't have any more pillar of cloud. They don't have a fire. They had to do it by faith from then on. No more manna. No more supernatural. It was by faith. Gilgal is a place where you decide by faith, I'm going to do this thing. Bethel is a place of prayer and seeking God, where God changes your heart. And you're seeking him regularly, and it's a place of decision, as sanctification, and giving yourself over to God. And the place of Jordan, when they went to Jordan, remember they went to Jordan there? It's a place where you're going to get challenged. Where you're going to have to meet, you know, Jesus went to Jordan, and that's where he met the devil. And he defeated the devil. That's a place where the Israelites had to break open there in Jordan over there. You know, so we have to understand these are all symbolic places. So finally the day came where he said, Elijah says, let me ask you something. What is it you want to do? Because, you know, before my master takes me away, he said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he got it. He said, you asked for a hard thing, but if you're wrong, I'm going to give it to you. I mean, you'll have it. So he got it because he was, you know, there's three things like we talked about here. A number of you know this. When Elijah followed this man of God, there were three things that was very evident in that how he got this. Number one is environment. You have to be in the right environment or be in the environment where this man is operating and be in that certain place, because if you're not in a certain environment, you're not going to, the chances of you getting something is not going to be good. If you're hanging around Timmy's all the time, that's not where you catch the anointing. Right? Or chapters for some of you. Number two is influence. How you're allowing someone's influence in your life. How much influence does that person have on your life? What are you reading? How much are you reading after them? What do you study? And number three, association. What are you associating yourself with? What are you allowing yourself to be associated with? You know, you look around, they say, people always say this, I mean, if you study human services, human science, or what they call this, sociology, these kind of things, if you look at, you become like the people you hang around with. I said, you become like the people you hang around with. Some of you need to get out of some of your environment sometimes, find somebody else a little bit, and find out what they know too. Right? It's good to do that. Or you could say this, if you want to change and you're not breaking out of your environment, you know, don't be stupid. Don't be a fool. Like, you know, make the change. Just make the change. And it's so important for us to know that. And I think I'm sharing this because somebody here desperately needs to make a change in the way you do things. I remember Dr. Hagan used to say, you know, he grew up a Southern Baptist. He was raised up from a deathbed. He had three incurable diseases, had a deformed heart, deformed chest cavity, had blood disease, and he was the doctor said, you're going to die. A number of high-powered professional, I mean, doctor said, this guy is going to die. There's no way he can live. He was born premature and supposed to die. He actually thought he was dead when he was just an infant, and they put him to the side. And then the grandmother saw him moving, and they kept him alive. Just a premature baby. But at age 17, he was on his deathbed, dying. And he had tried to get different ones to pray for him. And he couldn't get any relief from anybody. And he heard the Spirit of God speak to him. And he'd been reading it just a little bit. He was paralyzed on his bed at 17. And he read the scriptures. He said, God, if there's anything in there I understand, if I understand it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to act on it. And he got to Mark 11, 23, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said, that stuck with me. He said, mean to say that I have to believe I'm healed while I'm here still in my bed? You mean to say I have to believe I'm healed while I have all these symptoms? You mean to say I have to believe that I receive my healing while I'm crippled? The Lord said, if you believe it, you got to get up. He said he was crippled, paralyzed. He grabbed his legs, he put them onto the floor. He said, if it wasn't feeling so good, he said, my legs was just like 1,000 needles on my feet and legs. So painful. Because they're dead. If you're dead, dad, and you put them down, I don't know if you ever had your leg fall asleep. He pulled himself up. He said, the moment I begin to do that, I felt on the top of my head like hot honey come over my head, come all the way down my head, all over my shoulder. And that's what it felt like with me when I was called. Went down my shoulders and all the way down. Listen to me, I had different kinds of a call, different kind of spiritual experiences. If I didn't know better, I would have just walked away from what I went through. All the stuff I went through for the last 30 years was not fun. I was doing okay on my own, seeking out, become a professor over some 30 years ago, working at the university. I would have done it. I would have done more than that. I could have done more in what I know now. Because, you know, I was transferring from one school to another school to down east to finish off this, and I'm going to do this. You got to understand, this young Ojibwe boy from a reserve, suddenly he's at a pinnacle of place where he can actually make some decisions. Now he can do some things. And why, when I all of a sudden got to a pinnacle of where I want to be, all of a sudden I could grasp my goal, when the Lord got a hold of me at the University of Manitoba, and the Lord came upon me and asked me, what are you going to do with the calling I put on you? I'd like to say that everything fell in place right away. That everybody recognized me and started bowing to me and giving me money and kissing me and telling me, oh, you're wonderful. When I got home, and the first thing they told me, they asked me to take over this church. It was one of the hardest things for me to do, to leave my wife and I left our careers, and we came in to become missionaries in our own city. And we began to work here, and this lady was able to help us. There's different ones in here, but I think about 9 or 10 people started to work here. Some of them are not here. Some of them dead. Some of them went away. You know, so you have to know that you're called. And you wouldn't want to spend your time doing something that you didn't know. Like the other day, I'm going to the hospital. Like, you know, I mean, unpleasant things I'm doing. I don't get paid for it. I don't get paid being this. I went to a hospital, and this woman sitting in there, she's got tubes in her neck, a tube in her neck, tube in her nose, and she's got stuff in her arms, and she's mad. Of course, when you're sick, you get mad at people, and she starts being not very nice to me. I'm standing there, and I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Roma, come to visit you." And she said, "I want to be healed right now." And I almost reacted and said something. But my spirit said, "Okay, just be patient. talk to her, listen to her. He said, I want to be healed right now. If God's going to do it, he's got to do it right now. He's got to heal me right now. So I said, well, you can, if you can believe. Are you willing to believe now? Well, needless to say, we got talking together. And so we got talking, so she got mad at me, and she wants me to heal her right there. But I said, you know, you ever read the Bible? You've been a Christian for many years. Have you read about healing and how Jesus ministered healing? He never forced people. He never demanded people. He always asked them. He cooperated with them with their faith. You ever notice that in the Bible? He asked them, what do you believe about it? What do you want to do about it? Get up and go. Stand up. And by the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes it's by faith you have to do it. If somebody says, well, I can't do it. Well, God wants you to try. If the Spirit of God is there, and if you have faith to do it, you can do it. But not in the natural, you can't do that. Without the Word or without the Spirit, you can't do that. So I talked with this woman. He said, well, I'm waiting for so-and-so to come here and heal me. I said, it doesn't matter who comes here. I said, well, you believe about it. He said, I'm waiting for this minister. He's a renowned minister, and a lot of people know him across the nation, and he'll come and heal me. I said, do you ever see the story in James 5 and John 5 where that man says, I have no man? And Jesus said, you want to be made well? He tells Jesus, I have no man to help me. He said, you're just like that man. And everybody there waiting for the moving of the water. They want God to do something. You know, everybody's waiting for the moving of the water to heal them. Everybody's waiting for the Spirit to do something. When God wants you to do something, he's already sent his word. He's already sent his son. He's the Holy Spirit is there for you, and he wants you to start motivating yourself to walk towards the things that you're believing for. And so she's arguing with me. I said, wait a minute. He said, I don't have to be here. I'm here to help you. But and of course, you know, she's mad at me because I understand she's directing her anger because she's mad at God, she's mad at everybody. I said, I don't have to be here. I'm here because I'm out of my goodness of my heart. I'm come to pray for help you and so on. And so, you know, and so she settled down. And we started talking a little bit, and the doctor came. And so I had to leave. We can't do stuff unless God, the Holy Spirit, is going to lead you directly to do something. And you can't ever do anything unless you have the Word. You cannot do anything for God unless you have the knowledge of God's word to do certain things. You got to have the word in your heart. You have to know how to walk by faith. And if you learn that, then the Holy Spirit will come alongside to help you. That's what he's called. He's called the one who comes alongside to help. Jesus said, I'm going to send someone just like me. He's called the Comforter, and he's going to come alongside to help you. And if you begin to act on the Word of God and start moving towards the things of God, he's going to help you. Yeah. You know what? I've just been talking to you. It's 11:50 right now. But I believe the Lord wanted me to talk to you about these things this morning. Now I have messages I got right here. I got the message, but the Lord said to me, tell the people that my Holy Spirit is a gift. This Thanksgiving weekend, you begin to tell people in this church that my Holy Spirit is a gift to you. My Spirit is a down payment of what you're going to receive later on. Jesus, when he left, he said, wait for the promise of my Father, which he said, you receive. You shall be endued with power from on high. And he's talking to Christians that are already born again. So we need the Holy Spirit. And we need him to pray about things that we can't. And we can prevent things if we pray and begin to allow the Spirit of God to wake us up in the morning and pray. I've been waking up early in the morning. I wake up sometimes 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And I begin to have this prayer thing in my heart to pray. I pray. Sometimes I fall asleep praying. But I get up and I pray again. But God wants everyone here to pray in the Spirit. That means praying in tongues. It's not what you think, what you should pray for. God wants you to pray about this coming election. Not necessarily who should be the one. God said to me, it doesn't matter who it is. If you pray, I'm going to do something. Amen. Everybody, it doesn't matter. He said, could I used to say, yeah, Jagmeet is my man. Trudeau is my man. People get mad. It's like saying, the Boston Bruins is my man. Everybody gets mad, right? Sometimes people get mad here because we say certain things because it's political things. You're turning political. No, well, the Lord tells us to pray and focus our eyes on a political arena and pray for them. If you read the Bible, you know that. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it one this way or that way. And the Bible tells us in Timothy that we should pray for our leadership. Don't diss them. Don't dishonor them. Pray for them. Don't put it on Facebook. I hate Jagmeet. I hate the Conservative Party. What's the Conservative leader's name? Don Cherry? Cheryl? Don Shear. So you can tell I know him very well. But whatever you're going to do, be sure you're gonna vote, and vote for Jagmeet. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding. You vote for what God. You vote with your conscience. But you should vote something by faith, and pray, Father. Close your eyes and pray in tongues. No, you gotta vote. How many of you can vote? Let me see your hand. That's about almost half the crowd can vote. Some of you don't know you can vote. But if you can't vote, we're gonna show you how. You put an X or a check, whatever. So I want to give you one scripture. And we're going to close. We got 11:54. I do have some minutes left. Okay. Now we're going to start a lesson. I'm just kidding. Come on, guys. This is Thanksgiving. I want to be thankful that I get. Okay. We said to you in Romans 8:26. Okay, I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to be long, guys. I'm not going to be long. I know it's 11 over here. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's a whole lot of stuff in there. That word, the Spirit helpeth, that word helpeth means this in the Greek. For, with, and against. For, with, and against. So the Holy Spirit, he's for you. He's with you. And whatever you pray against, he's going to pray against it. So likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It's impossible for you to pray the perfect will of God if you don't allow the Spirit of God to help you pray, whether it's your own body. I remember somebody say one time, praying in tongues, some people got healed just praying in the Spirit. Help with our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to be. We ought to pray, but we don't always know what to pray about or how to pray about it. But there's someone inside you that God sent. He's called Holy Spirit. He's in you. He knows how to pray. He's not going to pray out of your mind. Because you're out of your mind. You're out of the will of God's mind. So, but the Spirit himself, or the Holy Spirit himself, the King James says itself, which is not a correct translation. It's italics. I think it's italics in the Bible. Itself, the Holy Spirit is not an it. So King James got it wrong there. So all you King James lovers, King James got it wrong. Not always right, but a lot of times it's good. So himself, he makes intercession. What does he do? He makes intercession for. Okay, see, that word up there is also is for. He makes intercession for us. The word groanings means, in the Greek, inarticulate speech. In other words, it's the kind of speech that you don't normally talk about regularly in everyday language. But the Holy Spirit has another language. It's called tongues. And he'll pray with these groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, that you cannot articulate in your normal everyday speech. So when you pray in the Spirit, when you allow the Spirit to pray through you, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. Let me just show you this very quickly. 11:58-59. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what? Spirit. That's your born again spirit. Didn't say your head. It's your spirit praying that your head has no understanding about. Because it tells in other verses of Scripture, my spirit prays, but my understanding or your mind doesn't understand what's going on. You are a spirit being. You possess a soul and you live in a physical body. That'll help your faith if you understand that. It'll help your faith. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Because your head, your emotions, they're all over this way. But you got to go kick back into your spirit and say, I'm doing this by faith. If you understand man is that triunity, you'll have victory in your faith walk. It's not what you think about it that's going to get you victory. It's what does the Bible say. And you lead in with the Bible and follow by your spirit. Follow what the Scriptures say. Go to this verse Scripture in Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is very clear on this one. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue, it's unknown to him, a tongue, 14:14, let me just say this anyway, should pray for a part, okay, this is about interpretation, verse 14. If I pray in a tongue or unknown tongue, it says it's actually a tongue, my spirit, in other words, your born-again spirit, your inward man, is praying. By what? By the Holy Spirit. He helpeth our infirmities. By the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit. So when you're doing this, you're not doing it intellectually. You're not praying with your natural self about something. But if you say, I'm going to purpose to pray about this area, Lord, I don't know what the will of God is, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. And if you purpose to do this, you have to purpose to do it. You have to say, I'm going to pray this prayer. Like yet a morning, listen to this. Yet a morning, the Lord kept saying to me that scripture, you know, speaking to me out of the Spirit. Now watch this. For he speaks in a known tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands it or catches its meaning, because the Holy Spirit utters secret truths, hidden things not obvious to our understanding. In other words, when you're praying in that spiritual language, you're not praying out of your head, like, Lord, help him get his car, help him get his life together. You know, you're talking to God in your mind. No, you're allowing by faith the Holy Spirit to take a hold of your spirit, to pray out of you whatever that you need for that situation, because you don't know everything. Because the Holy Spirit is going to pray to a secret truth that the devil doesn't understand, that you don't know about, but God only knows. Go to Romans chapter 8. We went to 26. Let's go to 27 and 28. We need to see this. And God wants you all to pray the will of God. Don't just pray out of your head. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, that there's two ways we pray as charismatic people. We pray with our understanding, and we pray with our spirit. We pray with our heads. We pray what we know to pray about, but we're limited there. But then we kick into the Spirit, in the Spirit, that's what we're teaching about. We pray, we kick into the Spirit with tongues and pray and believe God by faith that we're praying meaningfully over that area by the Holy Spirit's help. Now, and he who searches the hearts, who does? God does. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, or he knows what the Holy Spirit is saying through our spirit. What is his intent is? Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in our behalf. The Holy Spirit is doing this when you're praying in tongues. In our behalf of the saints, listen to this, according to and harmony with God's will. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying God's will for that area. Now, you might, listen to me, you're going to get to a place one day where you're going to have to do this. You're going to be, you come to a place where you really need to do this. Especially when your family member is going to die and you want them to live and you got no more help. Sometimes it might be too late, but God can always help you. You know, people go to the death's door, and if we pray this way for our children, pray this way for ourselves, we can avoid disaster and trouble if we spend more enough time doing it. I remember, what's his name? Lester Sumrall. When Jesus appeared to him, he saw thousands of people as far as the eye can see, he can see people. Thousands of people in this wide road, wide as you can see, and way past, and they're going down this black hole, and they're all falling in. And Jesus came to him and says, "You're responsible for those people." And he cried out, he said, "No, I'm not. Jesus said, "You're responsible for them." I remember Brother Hagin said one time when he was in the spirit and he saw this big creature come out of the sea and attacking America. He said, that's the evil forces that's been released against America and to attack the cities of America. And the Lord said to him, "You're responsible for that. If you don't pray and the church doesn't pray, you're responsible for what happens to the government and what happens to the people." Like, people here don't realize that. You're responsible for what's happening in our own city. We're looking to man to solve it. We're looking to the mayor to solve it. We're looking to the police officers. No, they need us to pray. So I'll stop there because, it's 12 o'clock. I said I'm going to get out of here. So I'll show you something. We're going to talk about this over the next little while because we need to get something going, light something under your seat. And start praying. Amen? I know we can only take someone to stand up this Thanksgiving weekend. Hallelujah. Did you get something? Did you get a little encouragement out of it? Was that something in there that said, hey, there's something there? You got challenged a little bit? Not all the same old hum. Hallelujah. Thank God. Father, we want to thank you today. In the name of Jesus, we spoke about many things. One of them is being in the Spirit. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, that the man of God says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And he saw something. Lord, when you called me, I was in the Spirit, and you showed me the outcome of what I'm supposed to do. And I know you're just getting started with me. I'm starting to learn how to follow you. I'm starting to learn how to do things. I'm older now, and I'm starting to hear you. I'm starting to follow you, to keep in step with you. Lord, I want to thank you for all my friends and family in this church that are following you, and they're designed to follow you. I know they are designed to follow you. They want to follow you. They're seeking you. They want you. They want things for their homes, their families, their businesses, their careers, their relationships. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we're praying by the Spirit of God that this Thanksgiving, we're going to be thankful for the Holy Ghost, that he's a gift. You said in Luke chapter 13, that the Holy Ghost is a gift, that if we ask him for the Holy Ghost, he will give us the Holy Ghost. That the Bible says that they saw other the Gentiles receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. That you are a gift, wonderful Lord. Jesus is a gift to the world. But the Holy Ghost is a gift to his church. And so we want to thank you right now that everyone in the sound of my voice can receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. They can begin praying the will of God. They can pray the purposes of God. They can say, like the scripture says later on, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. because of the Spirit in us. So we thank you this day for the Holy Ghost. I want to pray for those right now that you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for you right now. I'm trusting God that you're going to pray in the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone here, let's all lift our hands in heaven. Let's just pray for everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we pray for a mighty anointing. We pray for the Spirit of God to begin to move out of people. We pray that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Father, we just love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending him to us, that he is our helper, our strengthener, our standby, our intercessor, our comforter. Thank you for him and what he's doing. Thank you for healing the people this morning. Thank you for moving the people from a place of staleness and dryness to a place of rivers and flushing waters of refreshing. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God, for the refreshing of God, the flow upon the people of God. Fill every life right now, Lord God. Fill every hungry heart in the name of Jesus, flooding them with the anointing of God, for healing in their heart, for healing in their minds, healing the souls of the people, straightening out backs, strengthening knees, strengthening people on the inside of them in the name of Jesus, helping them to walk with you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, find one or two people. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Say, Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. Those of you that are watching online, if you've been watching online, we thank you for watching today. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. I believe in my heart that you're God's Son. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I thank you right now that I'm now born again. I'm your child. I'm a child of God. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, or you said that prayer again for the second time, I want to let you know that Jesus lives inside of you, that we want to help you. If there's anything that we can help you with material or anything like that, call our office, check us online, look for us. We'll be right there with you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.